It looks like we are still waiting on Esther. Let me just make sure she didn't. I don't think she told me she wasn't going to be able to make. You want to go ahead and get started?
Sure, I'll call the meeting to order at 10 a.m.
All right, then we can go ahead and do a roll call. And Miranda Shake,
I am so here.
Esther Curry, Amanda Doherty,
Here.
Betsy Mahoney. Betsy, I'm so sorry I didn't hear you. If I see you.
Here.
And Jill Pfeiffer.
Here.
Diane Yeoman.
Here.
Okay. First up, we have approval of the minutes of the January 17th, 2024 meeting. Did everybody have a chance to review those?
I'll make a motion. We approve them.
Okay, thanks, Betsy. Do I have a second?
I can second. This is Miranda.
Thanks, Miranda. Okay, then we will go ahead and do a roll call vote. Miranda Shake,
Yes.
Amanda Doherty,
Yes.
Betsy Mahoney,
Yes.
Jill Pfeiffer,
Yes.
Diane Yeoman.
Yes.
Okay, excellent. So the first thing I have for you is just our share update. We are in the process of getting the cohort 2 for Aspen set up. We have another round of 3 libraries that went live today. There are still some issues with ePay and some development requests that are outstanding. I'm actually meeting with the developers tomorrow, and we're going to talk about our priorities, kind of get an update. So hopefully we'll have some movement on the ePay very soon, because they seem to think that by the end of March the development would be complete, but I'll have more information starting tomorrow. We're also we've got the cohort 3 group scheduled, and then we're splitting the last members, which we're calling cohort 4. So we're splitting them into smaller subgroups. So it'll go the public libraries, like A to M, or I don't remember exactly, so don't quote me on this. But like half of the publics will start in July, then we'll go into the other half, finishing out the summer. Then half of the schools will start in the fall, because of course we'll want to get them some time to get settled in, but then we'll get them started and then we'll finish up the schools. And then the specials and academics will be embedded in those groups as well. But those will be the big categories of getting the different groups live. And so one of the issues that we have had with schools, it's a little bit different than how Aspen is set up for publics. If you have branches, like so Betsy, for example, for 6 Mile, your branch is actually considered under the main umbrella of your just overall catalog. You do it, your branch location will have a separate URL for very location-based searching. They do it a little bit different for schools. Each school is considered their own separate catalog. And so the reason that we have done that is because for the publics, a lot of times the patrons are kind of shared between your locations, and it's really one cohesive catalog. For schools, we might have a kids catalog at the elementary school. We might have a, they're just a regular catalog like you guys are more familiar with seeing at the publics for the upper grades. And so with that, they are separate. There has been some issues with like logins because of like teachers wanting to update a catalog. Dina and I were going back and forth on this. And so each individual location for the schools has to be set up with their own independent login to make changes, which is really unfortunate for some of the groups that have, 4 or 5 locations, or even like Decatur Public Schools, they've got so many. And so that's another development request that we've asked them to look at, because they should be able to make changes all under the same login. But there's some issues with the server on the back end. So we're getting that resolved. We've gotten a lot of really great questions and great feedback about the integrations. And so we're still working through a lot of those. Jill, I know I actually need to touch base with you on one for specifically for your library as well, now that I've gotten some more information. So I'll be sending that out to you today. So we're just working through them. So Aspen is just, it's up and running, it's going well. And so we're really excited to get everybody involved in that all-inclusive model. We're also, I'm fielding a lot of questions about the inclusive model for, what is going to be the fee for the next year. And so we're also working on annual agreements. I'm meeting today with a representative, with Troy Brown, and myself are meeting with a representative from DocuSign to go over how that might look this year if we did it through DocuSign instead of like a Microsoft Forms, and then everybody could sign electronically. So that may or may not happen. We're taking a look, but it's a very low cost comparative, especially as with as many group purchases that we do. We're also, as we prepare those annual agreements, we're also working with Danielle to identify what cloud library purchasing power each individual library would have. And so we're going to include that on the annual agreements this year as well. So that way that you'll know, Amanda, for example, that you'll know that you'll have this totally wild made up number, but you'll have $350 that you could spend on your collection. And then we would bill out for anything above and beyond. And if you didn't want to, build your own cart and do your own ordering, we would take care of that for you. So just to make that clear for everybody, especially those that might not have used Cloud Library before. So we'll get them up and running. Speaking of up and running, and Danielle, we're actually heading out to PLA that first week in April. Danielle and I are scheduled to meet with Chris Herpers. He's our Cloud Library representative. We're going to be meeting with our innovative rep at PLA. We've also got quite a few of our team going out to IUG. So Dina, I know, will be our representative out at IUG. And so that means, so that's actually, you guys are leaving Sunday, right, Dina, for IUG, coming back, probably unpacking, repacking, and then going out to PLA. And so this is also spring break week. So we've got a lot of parents on our team that are going to be out a little bit this next week for IHLS and for Share. And so we're going to be sending out an email just to let all of the members know that, hey, you might notice that we're just a little bit slower with responses just because we are going to be out. We've got so many key team members out. So just to give people a heads up so they know that we are working behind the scenes, but it might just be a little bit of a delay. So we're really excited. We're going to be getting to meet with a lot of vendors, get to see a lot of other teammates or other consortia at IUG. I think that's one of the biggest and best things about IUG is getting to talk to other libraries, including other Polaris libraries that are launching Aspen. So that'll be great. Then Reaching Forward South is coming up. And so we are in the process of planning a meet and greet the night before. We've had some snags, we'll just say, with the restaurant. And so we're still trying to finalize that, but it will be 6 to 8 the night before somewhere in Collinsville. I think we're going to send out a save the date, and then we'll send out details as soon as we can confirm with the location. And then, of course, Reaching Forward South, we've got so many of our team that are going to be presenting, and we're really excited about, like, especially the theme is really exciting. But the sessions look amazing. So if you haven't had a chance to look up Reaching Forward South, please do so. And then the eclipse is coming up. So Carbondale offices will be closed that day because of the increased traffic delivery. The college is going to be closed, and then delivery is not going to be able to get around town. So all of those routes will be canceled that day. So just a heads up there. Am I forgetting anything? Have I missed anything, Dina, Jace, or Jen?
I can't think of anything.
Me either.
Okay. All right. So that's all I have for the share update. Any questions? Okay, then I'll go ahead and turn it over to Rhonda for our financial statement review.
Hello. I can share my screen, I guess, and we can make sure that you all can see the statements as I'm going through them too. If I can find them.
And Jace, you might need to make Rhonda a co-host.
Okay.
Get that now, one second. There we go.
Okay, thank you. Can you see that okay? Or did
Yep.
I? Okay. So just to go over a few things, there's not a lot of change, but we did have, I just wanted to highlight where we are with investment income because I know that's something that's been discussed and something that we that you've talked about using eventually to eat into maybe a deficit or whatever it might be. But under the investment income to date, we have earned $76,434.01. So the majority of that, almost $76,000, is just from Illinois Fund. So that is through February 29th. So that's quite a bit more than what we had anticipated this year, thinking that rates would start to fall, but they did not. So, that's really great. We're 36,000, $700 past what we had budgeted. So we're doing really well there. And as far as fees for services and materials, which are like your share fees, barcoding, those type of things, we have billed out to date or through February 29th, $1,446,702.06. So that is 93.1% of what we projected for FY24. And as of February 29th, we have collected 99.7%. So our receivables are doing really great there. And then we just have a little bit there in other revenue that has come in for things like the admin fees for the CMC grant that we collect. And just random things that we collect for revenue that goes into that other revenue category. So everything as far as where the expenses are should be noted if they are over or I mean under the IHLS approved FY24 budget remaining percentage of 33% for all budget line items except for personnel, which should be 35%. So those items, as we have been, over and over, I feel like the same things that we've been highlighting are library materials, which are the ebooks that we purchase on behalf of the annual platform fees, are just not meaning we're going to go over necessarily, but as of spreading it out through the 12 months, right now it's just a little bit past where we would average that out to be. And then the professional services included the one-time annual cost of the audit, so that was a big expense in there. And the contractual services include the annual Polaris software maintenance subscription and Aspen implementation fees. And then the professional membership dues are where we code staff professional membership dues, along with like IUG institutional membership dues. So, although that budget line item you can tell is not very big, it's just over where we average that out throughout the 12 months. So, no big concerns there. And we have moved, of course, the transfer over this year of the 142.5 into the reserve funds, but IHLS has not paid the 350,000 that was budgeted to be moved to share. Normally, I do that after we have received all of our system area and per capita grant, which we're still waiting on a final payment of, or definitely before the end of the year, we move that money. So I would expect, I'd hope we get the payment in the next month, but I can't, it's just not guaranteed when we receive that. But when I do, I'll plan to move that. I would expect by May, I'd hope that that money's moved over to the share fund. And then you have just that reserve of those servers that we came a little under budget on, and then the ebooks that people purchase or libraries purchase beyond the subscription allowance that they have additional titles that they want purchased. So that's just the wash. So all in all, our year-to-date actual for expenses are finally under budget by 0.9%. So that's doing really good there too. And then the balance sheet, the share total cash is $2,258,980.05. So that is your reserve fund is just a little over a million here at $1,040,012.72. And then this committed funds are for those ebook purchases from the subscription revenue, and that is $69,941.76. And then we have our unrestricted or operating cash of $1,149,025.57. So that unrestricted cash is noted down here at the bottom that that will carry out and last share for 6.3 months. So as of February 29th, that takes right now 2 months into the, a little over 2 months into the next fiscal year. But normally after you receive IHLS's contribution, it lengthens that time frame out quite a bit. So we'll see what happens when we get that. So everything else, I feel like everything's, looking really great as far as the share finances. And I right now that $1 million is still sitting in Illinois funds. That's the operating cash. And we haven't had to use it, but we are getting low. I would expect it could, if we don't, if IHLS doesn't make its contribution in April, we may have to move some of that money over to fund operations activity in April. So I wanted to make sure, would we need a vote on that, or can are we allowed to move that whenever necessary? And I didn't plan to move, of course, the whole $1 million, but I plan to move whatever is needed out of that and into the US Bank operating account until we, each month what we need.
Rhonda, because we're not actually expending that money. I think when we actually, I would have to go back to double check, but when we moved it to Illinois funds, I don't think that we needed a vote to do that. I think it was just because we were transferring from one account to another. We're not expending anything, so I don't think that we need a vote. But it's nice just to have an FYI that it's been done. And I will go back to the minutes for when we first did that just to double check myself, but I don't think that we did.
So that's all I have. If anyone has any questions, though, I'll definitely answer them.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Anybody have any questions for Rhonda? Okay. All right, great. Then we will go ahead and go on to the next item for new business, which is contract cataloging. Carly has been working with their members who have expressed a need for more cataloging service. And so there was one library in particular that was in dire straits, frankly, that they ended up reaching out to us, but also through under our umbrella, the CMC, to get them some help. And so because it was kind of an urgent situation, we did not we need to go through a proper channels with this committee and get anything approved if we were ever to take on contract cataloging for another consortium or another library outside of our system. And so what happened was Dr. Pamela Thomas with the CMC reached out to the state library and asked for permission. It's not truly under their scope of the grant services that they the grant-funded services that they provide, but because it was kind of an emergency situation, they were given some dispensation as other duties as assigned, essentially. And so they were able to help them. But it did lead to a conversation of if that is something that we should maybe entertain the idea of helping out other libraries for cataloging, if that is something that we, because we have the opportunity to be system agnostic through entering data into OCLC. Is this something that you would like us to see as maybe an alternative stream of revenue if the opportunity comes up again, or if this is something that, we should really remain just focused on our members? So I wanted to bring it to committee to see what you guys thought. And Jennifer, if I've missed anything, or if you think that of anything that you'd like to add to the conversation.
I don't think you missed anything. I would just reinforce that our members would still come first. This is the individuals who would be potentially paying us through this program would not get priority. We would get it done, but our members' items will still be getting done first. I
Okay,
think
so.
that. Oh, great. I was gonna say, I think it's a good potential revenue stream to explore. I guess my biggest concern would be, stretching staff on their duties. I mean, but I also think it's good to maybe explore that and maybe have things kind of a framework in place if we. What it would take and kind of explore the nuts and bolts of what was needed, and then maybe talk about it more after that.
Does anybody disagree with maybe that approach of bringing some like a pricing proposal? Okay. Well, then what we'll do is Jennifer and I will discuss that and maybe put together a proposal for our next regularly scheduled meeting so you guys can review and we can have a more robust conversation about what that might look like and that we could have something just kind of on the books if that opportunity comes up again that we could offer our services as well. And it would, and I think, like Jen mentioned, it would probably depend on our capacity too, simply because, like for example, right now we're down one cataloger. We are also limited on what we can offer up in the Champaign area because of the way that our actual staffing, we're concentrated a lot in Edwardsville and only have one share cataloger out in Champaign, and they've are, a bit extended there. So, okay. Well, then we'll work on that and we'll bring it to our next regularly scheduled meeting. Do we have any other new business? Okay. And so next up is old business, standing committee procedures. At our last meeting, we had talked about that, and we're going to send it to the Share Executive Council. There was one item that I wanted to note that we have added was because as we started to think about representation and what that really meant, we had talked about being representative of the overall group, and that's geographic and size based. There's also the idea of being just representative of and being responsive to equity, diversity, inclusion, and access. So maybe people that have a different viewpoint in that standpoint. So taking that into account too, when we're looking at volunteers who might be interested in participating on our committees, just to acknowledge we want to be very responsive to our EDI values as a consortium. So I did include that. Did anybody have any comments or anything that they'd like to discuss about that procedure?
Cassandra, this is Jill. Specifically in that last sentence, I would either take out the word also, and just simply say, look, we're committed to this, you know, so it doesn't, it's not like, oh yeah, and also, you know, or say it like, additionally, Share is committed to diversity, you know, da 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 da, the rest of it. That would be my suggestion. I just don't like, I'm probably more in favor of just removing the word also and okay. just make a statement, because that's what you're saying when you're talking to us. It's just a statement. This is what we also are, is important to us.
Okay. I like that suggestion. Thank you, Jill.
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments or questions or discussion about the standing committee's procedure? Okay. Hearing none, what we're doing is taking this to all of our committees that they have a chance to review it, and then the Share Executive Council will finalize that probably at their next regularly scheduled meeting. I'm sorry, excuse me, just one moment. So with that, because it is just a procedure, not a full policy, it will become best practice once they review it and then become official procedure for Share. Okay, so we'll move on to other old business. This is actually kind of in line with the standing committee. We started the new process, and I have to say from feedback on this committee of asking for the like a statement of intent, it's going really well. There's a form that has been set up. People can express interest. It's also really nice because we've had some people who said, well, I might be effective on the circulation committee. I might be effective on, you know, finance and policy committee. And so I thought that was a really good way for people to express interest. And we had somebody, I'll use one of our newer bibliographic standards committee members who said, oh, you know, I love cataloging. It's my favorite part of my job. And you can really get an idea of why they want to participate. So I really like that. We also have an opening for the Share Executive Council for large library representatives. I did reach out to our large libraries specifically to say, hey, we have this opening if you've got anybody on your team who'd be interested. So we're getting some responses back, and we'll probably have a vote to get that position filled in July. So looking forward to that. But if anybody has anybody that is in a large library that you think that would be a really great addition to the Share Executive Council, let me know. I'll be happy to reach out to them directly and just ask if they'd be willing to participate. So if you have anybody, please definitely send that to me. We also, you might notice that Janet is not here because she is officially off this committee and she is finishing up. I think her retirement date is in April. And so we're really excited for her new adventures, but we do have an opening on this committee. I sent out some of the names of people who had expressed interest. And so just based on that, I will ask that Miranda, you know, has a chance to review and we'll make a decision. For those that expressed interest, they were very similar. Medium libraries kind of up in the Champaign area. So if anybody has worked with either candidates, if you'd like to send Miranda a note of, you know, what you think, or if you have any insight to you'd like to add, if you would like to reach out to her. Anything else, Miranda, that we want to discuss about the opening?
No. When do we need to make a decision?
I will hope that we fill that position by our next regularly scheduled meeting. So probably to make sure that we get it on their calendar, probably, let's see, it's next, will be May 15th. So maybe around the end of April.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
I have two things. First of all, I think either one of those people would be great. You know, I know less about John, but I mean, you know, it seems fine, you know, and of course, many of us know Amanda and she's really strong as well. Large libraries. I know we only have a handful. So that would be what, like Decatur, Hainer, Six Mile. Who else is in that basket?
Six Mile, O'Fallon, because we did change it. So it's anybody who has population over 25,000. I think Seabram. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we do have a lot more than we used to. It used to just be Decatur. So yeah. Okay. We have.
And I did get that email, but I have too many things going right now.
And Esther, it doesn't have to be you, but I wanted to send it to you since you are so embedded, if you've got anybody on your team that wants to participate.
I really don't. I'll have to think about it. Bill's getting ready to retire, so he's not much for meetings anyways, and all the rest I don't think would be interested, but yeah, I was like, why am I getting this? Oh yeah, we changed. I'm a large library now.
Well, and don't feel pressure, because we have had a couple of people that have expressed interest, and we will probably have an election just so people have an opportunity to vote. So, yep. Okay. We also, just as a side note, at our next meeting, we'll also need to talk about the chair for this committee to participate on the Shared Executive Council starting in their first meeting. Starting the next fiscal year, which was in July, but the first meeting will be August, because Miranda is going to be released from the chains of the chair position. So if anybody is interested in doing that, we could certainly just take note now if somebody wants to raise their hand and say, I want to be chair this next fiscal year. And it's something that you can think about. At our next meeting, we'll also need to do that as well. And very much thank Miranda for her taking it on for a second term. I know at one point the plan had been to split it with someone else on the committee, and but she was gracious enough to hang out for another term. So appreciate that. Okay, so anything else on that topic?
Not that topic, but I do have another thing. But go ahead and finish what you need to do.
Just worry about other new business.
This has to do with a material handler. And I think in the survey that was sent out, there was a little implication in there about potentially the membership possibly putting in funds for that. At least that's how I read it. And I don't know, it's like, that is definitely not something I want to see come to this committee to try and figure out how we squeeze any more money out of our membership, because I feel like that would be a really bad idea. Uh-uh. Okay, good.
No, that is definitely something that I have been working with Colleen on, to be very clear that we always include a statement that this is not a part of the fee increase and no share funds will be used for the AMHS. I know, and I didn't get a copy of the survey, so I don't know exactly how it was worded. Was it specific for rebarcoding a collection, Jill?
I didn't think so, but I'd have to look at it again. But the other thing about the survey that was difficult to answer was, you know, they asked you whether or not, you know, would you just want to do your own collection? Would you want them to do it? Would you want it to be kind of hybrid approach, right? And then they asked the question of how long do you think it would take for you to do your collection? And really, there's no possible way for us to answer that, because we've never even done one book, let alone 20, let alone spent an hour knowing how many books we could get done in an hour. So, I mean, I just said December 31st of 2024. I don't know. It was kind of a question that was unfortunate, because there's no way for people to assess it that you're asking question to.
Yeah. Well, I will be happy to share that information with Colleen. She is our new facilities and operations director. So I'll be happy to just share that with her. But that has definitely been something that we've had a lot of conversations about. Just letting her know that the barcode placement is a difficult subject. And I know Esther has also been responding a lot on some of the questions that have come through in part of her participation on the AMHS working group. But I will kind of just let her know that it's really difficult to tell how long it would take for the rebarcoding of any items coming through.
Yeah. And I did respond in her initial request to like people who wanted to be, you know, trials for doing, you know, using it. And I will state again, my library is more than happy to take one of them and just see what that process is like, so we can come up with some kind of idea of what it entails and how long it takes. More than happy to. And it wasn't that question on the survey was the crux of anything. it is just to say whatever data she gets from that question is probably going to be irrelevant because nobody really knows how long it takes to do it.
Right.
Yeah, I tried to put not available and it was like, no, you have to put a date. And I'm like, I have no idea. So yeah, that was frustrating.
Well, I know when they first started talking about it, because we had our barcodes on the inside, and that was what, 2019, that was first kind of floated around. We also had a staff person that was getting carpal tunnel from opening the book up. And she's, you know, she'd been our head of circulation for like 35 years now. And so 35 years of opening a book up. So between the two, we decided we're going to move them to the front. And I tell you, staff worked on them for months. I mean, and I still don't know that we have everything, because it was one of those, we're going to go forward. They're going to be on the outside. We'll retrofit as we can. And, you know, and still, I think there's sections of our collection that still aren't, and that's been 6 years. So, you know.
Well, just, yeah, you're a large library now. Come on.
That's right. Yeah. So it's really, you know, people are just going to be guessing at that because there's just, oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so, I don't think that this has been put out as like official yet, but I know that Colleen was looking at, you know, with the barcode duplicators, it would not just be, we would just start doing it willy-nilly. We would have some type of agreement with each library so that they understand we would be making changes to their materials. So there would be some type of agreement in place so people are aware of what's happening. I know she has been working really hard on that project, and there's been a lot of questions of, you know, why do we need this? I know that she had done a really great presentation at a Members Matter, but we will be doing some more. And then, of course, I think she did a really good job of outlining kind of some of the difficulties that delivery is facing right now. I know that there's been some concerns with between weather closures and route cancellations due to staffing that she has been, she really has hit the ground running. For those of you who you recognize Colleen, because she's, of course, been working on this, you know, as part of this committee for a really long time and as an IHLS employee, but she's really still very new to the position for operations and delivery. And so she's doing a really great job of like kind of taking the long view on a lot of this stuff. So, I'm sure she'll be really take into account about that question on the survey that it's probably not very accurate data. So I'll be happy to share that with her. So any other old business? Do we have any public comment or announcements? Okay, so we do have the next meeting is going to be our budget review on April 18th at 2 p.m. via Zoom in conjunction with the Share Executive Council. We are the finance department's been working really hard to kind of get us all of the proposals in for everything new, kind of identifying our current service levels. We've got some new group purchase opportunities, including Library IQ. We're also sending out for Swank, the Swank movie licensing. We have been doing some demos we had done a demo for E-Rate Sync. And so Esther, I know you do E-Rate at your library. I don't know if you've ever looked at E-Rate Sync, but you might take a look at that. It's a platform to help manage the actual paperwork and data that comes in through doing E-Rate. And so it's kind of a neat platform if you're doing E-Rate anyway. I know one of the barriers for E-Rate in general is because it's so complicated. And so people who don't do it don't really want to do it. But there is an opportunity there to get a little money back. So if you're interested in that, I have information for our representative. But otherwise, we are staying the course. We're all things Aspen, Aspen all day, every day. So that's what we're going to be working on next year. And so our budget and our operational plan will reflect that. Our next regularly scheduled meeting will be May 15th. And then again, we'll hopefully seat that new member. So any other announcements or notes? Okay. Well, it's been great seeing you all. Thank you for the great feedback on the AMHS and the proposal. And I look forward to seeing you guys here in a few weeks. I look forward to seeing you all maybe at the Reaching Forward South or the meet and greet mixer the night before. So you guys have a great day.
All right. Adjourn at 10:40.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.